This week is Eurovision week, if it failed to escape your attention. And Gareth Mulhall, the founder of EurovisionIreland.net and Newstalk's own, is with me in studio. Gareth, thanks for popping in. You didn't have far to come, I guess.
No, I didn't.
Sit outside there. The Eurovision, talk us through, first of all, before we get into the whole spectacle of it and everything,
sure.
What is happening this week exactly? What's the schedule?
Yeah, Eurovision has grown to almost like being a huge juggernaut of a show. It has to have, there's 43 contestants this year, and as a result, they have to have two semi-finals and then the grand final. So on Tuesday, we are going to have semi-final one, in which Ireland is competing in.
Very good.
19 countries in that semi-final, 10 of which will go through to the final as a result of both a 50-50 jury and televote. Then on Thursday, we're going to have another semi-final and the same deal again, where half and half, 10 countries will go through to the final. And then on the Saturday, we have the grand final, which is the 20 songs which have already gone through, plus the big five. And they're the big five, which are the UK, France, Germany, Spain, who all give the most money to the EBU, so they get a free pass to the Eurovision final.
They buy their way in.
And plus the hosts, Portugal this year, who won for the very first time last year, after being in the contest since 1964 without a win.
1964. How long is the Eurovision around?
The Eurovision started in 1956, and it sort of came out of Europe, which is coming out of the World War II, and they decided we need to get something to bring the country together, bring the continent together. So it was the brainchild of a man called Marcel Benson, and he said, look, let's get all the countries together. So the first contest was in Lugano in Switzerland in 1956. There was only 11 countries, and because it was so short, each of the 11 countries sang two different songs.
Were we there?
No, we weren't. Each of the countries sang two different songs, and the voting was done behind closed doors where they're having cups of tea, and the winner actually was the host country that year, was Switzerland. The now classic song called Refrain by Liz Assia. And Liz Assia is possibly one of the contest's biggest advocates. She was still going to the contest every year until, unfortunately, she passed away earlier on this year.
All right, well, let's take a little listen to that. Okay, that was Liz Assia there, the first winner of the Eurovision in 1956. Is that what you said?
It was indeed, 1956.
For Switzerland. You mentioned, say, Portugal only winning it for the first time last year, despite being in it for so long. Weirdly, we couldn't lose it for a while. Like we there is real Eurovision royalty on this island, isn't there?
We had, I don't know whether or not it was the curse or the blessing of winning it so many times. Yes, we've won the contest 7 times, and we've been in the top 3 12 times in total. The 1990s were the golden period for Ireland. We couldn't do anything wrong in the contest. If we sneezed, we got through to the final and won it. But yeah, we did the unthinkable, and we won it 3 times in a row, 92, 93 and 94. And then we thought we'd give Norway a year, and then we took it back then for 1997.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Eimear Quinn in 97, was it?
It was Eimear Quinn in 96, sorry.
Oh, 96,
yeah, Eimear Quinn brought it back. But since then, we haven't managed to do anything particularly good in the competition.
And when I mention royalty as well, a man who is synonymous with the Eurovision in Ireland, both for competing on stage and off stage in writing, Johnny Logan.
Oh, the man who brought the white suit into fashion on his own, I swear to God.
Are we thanking him for that?
Oh, well, yes, we are. If we can pull it off, we'll give him thanks for that. Yeah, of course, Johnny Logan won the contest in 1980 with the Shay Healy song, What's Another Year. He decided, you know, I'd like another bite of the cherry. So he came back in 1987 with his own song, Hold Me Now. And then he decided, you know what, I don't want to be greedy. So now I'm going to give Linda Martin a song. And he gave her another song because she actually came second in 1984 with a Johnny Logan
didn't
song.
Didn't know that.
Terminal 3, Flights on Time. Yeah, and she lost out.
Hold on, that was the name of the song.
That was the name of the song. Terminal 3, Flights on Time.
Oh,
and she
God.
Lost out to 3 Swedish men in golden boots called the Herreys. But she got her own revenge because she went to Sweden then. She won the competition in 1992 with a Johnny Logan song, Why Me?
Ah, look, we can't talk about Johnny Logan without listening to some of of it from the man himself.
And though I won't be there anymore, I will always love.
Yeah, Hold Me Now, the classic Johnny Logan. What year did that win?
1987.
You mentioned then, right, we had that great run, Johnny Logan winning it in the 80s, and then Linda Martin and Niamh Kavanagh. We mentioned Eimear Quinn as well. Why no success since 96 when Eimear Quinn won it? We held it then in 97, and then nothing.
Yeah, nothing whatsoever. I think what happened is Eurovision opened up to many different countries. So Eastern Europe and the former Balkan countries all joined the competition, and they actually brought their A game with them. They were sending their biggest stars to the competition, and they were coming up with really innovative ways of selling the song, but also great songs itself. So I think Ireland sort of felt, oh, okay, what do we do now? Okay, a ballad isn't going to work anymore, so how do we do that? So we have experimented with lots of different things and not particularly successful. I suppose one of our low points was Dustin the Turkey going around in a shopping trolley. Yeah, that didn't go down too well. But I suppose one novelty act which did really well for us, and I think it's because they actually, they're the best self-promoting twins in the world, they are. Jedward, after their stint on the X Factor in the UK, they decided, hey, I'm going to give Eurovision a twirl. And they came with the amazing song in 2011 called Lipstick. And it actually managed to get us to the grand final, got three sets of 12 points, and ended up, I think it was eighth on the night.
Okay, Lipstick by Jedward. Let's take a listen. What year?
That was 2011.
Lipstick by Jedward in 2011. You know that what people say is that it's all political voting. That's the reason we don't. Is there anything to that?
No, there's not. Not at all. If you look, now I don't want to get into all the statistics.
Yeah.
It's too early in the morning to talk about statistics. Look, other countries are sending, as I said before, their biggest artists. I mean, huge, huge singers who have sold millions of, you know, albums. So they're not afraid to get on a stage and sing in front of 200 million people. We haven't been doing that.
Why? Is there a bit of snobbery about it here?
Yeah, I think I throw it back to like the Terry Wogan era, you know, of slagging the contest off. While it might make, you know, for a bit of a laugh on a Saturday night when you've had a few drinks on you, it sort of puts off some other big stars wanting to get involved in the actual competition, because they're possibly afraid, if I go and I don't win, where does my career end up then? You know,
is it the same in the UK there? Because obviously that's where they're watching. That's why you don't have the big names. I don't. Who's the UK entry this year?
It's a lovely young woman called Suri.
Oh yeah, and she like it's lowercase s,
higher case U. Very trendy, anyway. Trendy altogether.
She was on Graham Norton a couple of weeks
ago. She was indeed. But
in
fairness to the UK, they've actually started doing a national final again. And I think that's where Ireland is missing out. Because with a national final, you get to marry up a really good singer and a good song. Because sometimes when you do an internal selection, it doesn't work.
There's kind of a science to the song as well in the Eurovision, isn't there? Completely. I've heard... Phil Coulter speaking about this more than once, actually. And he's very, really interesting. He kind of gets sucked into it because he's done a lot of writing as well in other countries for different entries in singing competitions. He's a real pro in this kind of business. And he just talks about, not that it's mathematical, not at all, it's a creative process, but there's certain tricks to what's a successful Eurovision song.
Now, all the Eurovision fan websites that are over there in Lisbon now, they're all looking out for the key things, okay? One is the opening, and then they go make sure that your chorus and your verse has a very good bridge on it. And then you have to have the all-important key change. Now,
this is where Westlife stand
this
up.
This is where Leslie...
When Westlife key change, they all stand up. That's when you know it's
That's
happening.
That's where Nicky Byrne went wrong. He didn't stand up, you know, when he was at Eurovision. Yeah, no, exactly. It has to have that all-important key change. And Eurovision, very thankfully, brought the invention of the wind machine. So if you have long hair, it's a necessary object to have on the stage with you.
So in terms of the competition this year, as you said, Tuesday semi-final, Thursday semi-final, Saturday then the grand final, which we're hoping will be in, Ryan O'Shaughnessy will be in. He's on Tuesday night in the semi. We'll take a listen to actually his entry in a few minutes. But who are the favourites this year?
This is a very contemporary year for songs because quite a lot of them are already making the radio stations all around Europe. So the number one favourite is Israel, and it's a singer called Netta, and she's singing a song called Toy. Now, it's actually a very upbeat sort of hip-hop... It's in English.
Okay.
And it's linked to the Me Too feminist movement. So it's gaining an awful lot of, you know, following because of that. But it's a great pop song, great dance song, and very instant and in your face.
Dana International won it for Israel.
She
isn't
did
that right?
indeed.
Was that the last time they won it?
That was the last time they won it. You're very good on
I'm
this.
Telling you. So Israel are number
and then
one.
Norway. Now, Norway won the competition the last time in 2009 with the man playing the fiddle. Do you remember him? Alexander Rybak in the song Fairy Tale. He's back and he's trying to pull a Johnny Logan on it now.
Oh.
And he's moved right up into second favourite with his song called How to Write a Song. So it's a very fun song and he gets his fiddle out yet again, he does, and he's wowing the audiences as we speak.
And what about our chances, Ryan's chances?
Ryan, out at the moment, he's 30th favourite, where the odds are around about 150 to 250 to 1.
Okay.
I think they're being rather mean about that because I think Ryan's performance is getting a lot of talk over there in Lisbon. They've recreated the video that they shot for the song and it's going down a treat.
All right, okay. Well, look, Ryan is competing on Tuesday night, as he said, the other semi-final Thursday, final Saturday, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
He will be there. That's all we have time for this morning on News Talk Breakfast. Shane and Paul will be back as usual from tomorrow. Tomorrow from 7, should I say. And I think to play us out, it's only right. Here is Ryan O'Shaughnessy's entry for Eurovision 2018.
We were drifting like two icebergs out on the ocean. I was doing all I could to keep you close. There were troubles in the water. You swore it was nothing. You said that we would always stay afloat. Why would true love look me in the eye and lie? I thought we'd be together till we die. I'll forever wonder why. I thought we'd be together till we someone else that I should know about. 'Cause there's a smile on your face that I haven't seen since we started going out. How could true love look me in the eye and lie? I thought we'd be together till we die.
At Lidl, we know real value.